Hi, I'm Tegan Howden from the Media Studies Department at VIU. You're listening to CHLY 101.7 FM Nanaimo.
Conversations in the Arts and Humanities introduces you to the people and passions of the Faculty of Arts and Humanities at Vancouver Island University and shares stories about events and projects happening on campus. My name's Theo Finnegan, and I'm talking to Joy Googler. Joy teaches in the Department of Creative Writing and Journalism and the Department of Media Studies at VIU. For more than a decade, Joy has led creative writing students in the department's publishing workshop courses, which produce Portal magazine. Joy is joined by Katie Carroll, a student editor on the current issue of Portal magazine. Joy, could you talk a little bit about the origins of Portal?
Yeah, we are celebrating 33 years as a magazine at VIU, formerly Malaspina. So it began under a prof in the Creative Writing and English department, Ron Smith, who owned a press in Lanceville called Ulican. And he produced beautiful literary books there and wanted to bring in a publishing program and a hands-on approach to publishing literature, not just thinking about studying it and writing it, but what would that look like? And he brought on Rhonda Bailey, who's my predecessor as the publishing instructor in creative writing and journalism. And for 16 years, she ran Portal. It had a few earlier incarnations. One of them was called The Stump, which I am glad we have moved on from as a name. But it was the bones of Portal in some ways. It was black and white. It was photocopied, I think, initially. But it was all student-produced writing and art. And it celebrated the work of VIU students exclusively, though not exclusive to creative writing. And then as it got taken over by Rhonda, it pushed the boundaries, as it will, because the students wanted to do more with it. So it added more pages, had more black and white art. Eventually, they wanted to move from a sort of staple or saddle stitch format to something that was perfect bound. And so they went with a commercial printer, and that required fundraising, and they involved themselves in a lot of ways to try and bring in some money to pay for that printing. So, you know, bottle drives and beer and burgers and Portal Palooza concerts and various things to try and raise money in the community, including advertising, which we still do. And then she retired in 2010. So I did my first issue in 2010. And then 2011, we really kind of went big in that we came up with a logo and tagline and color throughout the issue. And it's only grown since then.
Could you talk a little bit about the process of sort of teaching it?
It is a class. Crew 430 and 431 are taken consecutively. The class in the fall term teaches the sort of hands-on editorial skills you need, and it familiarizes the class with other literary magazines in Canada. So they do presentations on any one of 35 across the country and talk about what they're doing well and what we could steal from them and what we think we do well by comparison, just to situate us in that landscape. We do practice edits on work that's been already published, but they're original drafts a few years back. So they get a sense of how that might go. They write a letter to the author. They also read other works that are the best of literary magazines. So the Journey Prize every year chooses the best 12 works of fiction from literary magazines across Canada, and they read that and review it and compare it to our work. Or Best Canadian Poetry, Best Canadian Essays deal with the poetry and nonfiction genres. And they put together a kind of postmortem at the end that looks back at what they've learned, what they'd like to bring to the magazine in the new term, and how to prepare for doing readers' reports. Because we get several hundred submissions over the Christmas holidays that they read and choose their eight best to write readers' reports on, but choose their 25 votes for the pieces that would go in. So it's a quite democratic process. In that way, I don't get a vote. I wait to see what emerges. And then the students meet in the first class in January to look at those and to talk each other in and out of decisions, finalize it, do acceptances and rejections. And those are always sad to send out the rejections, but always great to reward people too for submitting. And then we pair the work with art and order it in the issue. And then the production cycle sort of begins with editing and two rounds of editing before it's copy edited and then off to the designer for reading week. So that is a very intense period between January and the middle of February. And then we're currently in the part where we're proofing the designed pages and catching lots of little mistakes that we missed in the first round and finalizing it. It's going to go to the printer on March 22nd, the same day we're doing the colloquium. So it's all troughing into that single day, but it's a really, you know, just exuberant moment when you hit send and you know it's going to come back and look as a beautiful magazine. We crack open the box and everybody comes around and sort of sniffs the pages and say, oh, we made this. And that's a really great feeling.
I'm an English student. I've dabbled in creative writing while I've been at VIU, but I've always really been interested in editing and the editorial process. So that's sort of the aspect that drew me to the class. And when I saw the magazine and for the first time, and I was really excited to get to be a part of it and the process and just to see how it all comes together is really interesting. And just, I've sort of been in crew workshops, but it's a really different thing getting to actually, instead of making suggestions, getting to actually get in there and be like, no, what if we did this and what if we did that? It's a really cool process to be a part of.
So you're the fiction editor.
I am a fiction
editor. You're a fiction editor.
Yes. As a fiction team, discuss sort of which pieces we really felt like we had a vision for or we had a connection with. And it worked out really well amongst us that it kind of naturally we were like, well, I want to do this one, I want to do that one. So that worked out really well. So it starts with reading the piece again and trying to keep my pen off of it for the first read, and then going back through and, you know, noticing the obvious things, grammar, but also how can I help the story that they want to tell. When we pick the pieces, we spend a lot of time discussing in class where we think the strengths of the piece are and where we feel like maybe we could improve it. So I'm definitely taking into account what the class has also said. And so bringing those suggestions to the author and basically going through. So we use the track changes function on Word so the author can see where we've changed things. But then we also save a copy where we take away all the track changes and we ask them to read that first so that they're not alarmed. And then we have to write a letter to the author that explains, this is what I love about your piece. This is what I thought we could change. Have a read and see what you think. I was lucky enough that all of my authors were willing to meet with me. I know that's not always the case, and some of my classmates didn't get to have that experience. But after I'd sent the edits, I was able to meet with my authors, and we got to talk through the edits, see where they agreed, see where they disagreed, see how we could work together to find a a collaborative solution. And we came up with some really great ideas for some of the stories. And that was probably my favorite part, was getting to collaborate and be like, find that best option.
Do you find that when you're doing it, do you break it up into different, do you do the technical stuff first where you're like, oh, periods, commas, do you get that out of the way and then do the creative stuff, or is it more?
One of my profs told me this, and I've used it ever since, that if you do it in reverse order, you're painting the toenails of the foot that might be amputated. So right. there's no point in spending all your time on this, you know, perfection cosmetically if you haven't got the bones of it, right? The structure's not there. If the plot has holes in it, if there's scenes that are going to be added, if characters need developing, if dialogue is going to come from something off stage onto the page.
Right.
So you have to get all of that so that everything's in the right place and everything that's in it should be in it. And then you do the copy edit, proofread. Proofread is after it's in design, but the copy edit is the final thing you do. And in the business, people are exclusively copy editors or they're often stylistic substantive editors. They do those two stages together. And Katie would be good at either of those halves or offer the full service. She's also got a piece in the issue called Nobody's Fool that's a work of short fiction and is very comedic and playful and ends the issue. So she's been on both sides of the desk.
It was actually a really cool experience because Lee, who's one of the other fiction editors, also has a fiction piece in the magazine, and we edited each other's pieces.
Oh, okay.
So that was a really interesting experience as well. So we were both on both sides.
Is it always smooth, or are there tensions sometimes? Do people say, I'm not doing that change? What do you do then?
Yeah. Yeah, there definitely are creative differences for sure. And I think what I'm learning is, you know, the edits are suggestions, but there's a reason that that suggestion is made. Mm. And so whether you take that suggestion and you make the change that way, or whether you think, okay, well, why are they making that suggestion? What's the missing piece? Why are they asking that question? Can I answer it in a way that I like better? And I think that's the strongest reaction to an edit, is you don't necessarily have to take what they've done because you might not like it, but there's a reason. There's a question. There's a missing piece. So how do you fill that in?
So it's not like you're, as the editor, you're the one with the final say, here's what you're doing. But it's the point is that you're questioning something. And so however you get to the solution is the point.
Hi, I'm Katie Carroll from Portal Magazine. You are listening to Conversations in the Arts and Humanities on CHLY 101.7 FM, Nanaimo.
Coming to VIU, what I found so great are these opportunities to have conversations.
It is really a privilege to bring your research to a broader audience.
It's the human connection.
It's full of music and celebration and color.
A totally different worldview that is in so many ways so much healthier for the planet we all share.
It's great to make those connections, and it's great to be able to have those conversations.
To create meaningful and positive change in communities.
So why not use the arts to have a conversation about how the arts can have an impact?
So we live in this quite scary time at the moment of belt tightening and budget cuts and a lot of things like that happening on campus. And so it was interesting that you said Portal is sort of self-funding through a lot of hard work, right? But I'm sort of interested in maybe your thoughts, and Katie, you as well, on how important this program is for the humanities and the arts at VIU and for the community as well. Like, this is a really vital, important thing that happens. And maybe you could speak to what your sense of that is personally.
Well, it's certainly been a privilege to be involved with it for the last 15 years. And I have seen the responses at launches, for example, with 120 people in the room, and the authors just so proud of that issue, and their parents and grandparents come and they get up and read, and they autograph each other's copies, and they're on social media sharing it. And it's a portfolio piece for them when they go out to look for work. It's a pretty impressive portfolio piece because it's so well designed, and it's in color, and it's all, they can say this is the before and after of the editing work that I did. So it's really tangible and concrete. It's a networking opportunity because we you end up talking to people who also work in magazines. We go to the Word Vancouver Festival every September, and we have a table representing Portal with 15 other literary magazines to the left and right of us. And so they see us as a community. They advertise in our magazine. We advertise in theirs. And in that way, it's really essential to BC magazine culture. We're a member of Magazines BC and Magazines Canada, and they're under threat with government cuts as well and constantly trying to do less, more with less. But they also offer a lot of professional development to me and to students by extension. And I think the community is advertising in us because they see that the student population here, 18,000 plus, you know, makes a very big contribution economically as well as culturally to the city.
Yeah.
And so they want to reach them up here on the hill and understand what they need in their life and want to talk about and what kinds of events they want to go to. So in that way, it's essential. In terms of experiential learning on campus and something that is constantly being validated as a really meaningful way to learn, I think you can't get much more hands-on than this class from start to finish. And I think that's one of the things that by the time you get to fourth year, you're really looking for as a student, because it can feel quite hypothetical in the workshops, right? You take all the classes, you learn best practices, you get feedback, but what's it actually going to be like to be published? How do I submit my work? How do I deal with editorial feedback? How do I defend my work? How do I learn to that editing improves it? How do I develop skills that might pay me a living by day to write by night? Because many writers, of course, are not going to make a living on their writing initially anyway. Creative writing, poetry and fiction and nonfiction, maybe a little bit more with journalism, but we know that's under threat too. So there's so much about the magazine that I think the administration in the university is also really proud of. They give it out to potential donors and visitors. It's government representatives have copies given to them. It looks like a very professional thing that the university has produced, and lots of brilliant programs on campus are doing brilliant work, but they don't necessarily make something that you can hand out to other people. And so this is kind of an example of what happens when collaborative spirit meets imagination, meets the desire to learn. And I think that's a pretty great combination. So I would hope that we have another 33 years in us, that's for sure. And because we're self-funded, we're actually a little bit insulated in this moment, because if we can't produce the issue, it's on us, but it's not because somebody's cut our budget. And that makes us actually feel a little bit more in control of its likelihood to continue. But Katie's been involved in a number of the ways in which we've put Portal out there in the world, including our reading series and attending events where we have them on sale or we are talking about them, going to classrooms, encouraging students to submit. So maybe you have a take on it also as an English student, somebody outside the department.
Yeah, it's interesting. I am, I'm surprised how little I knew about Portal until this year. But in some ways it makes sense, because I did my first semester in Scotland and I spent half a year in Vancouver doing my classes online. So I've not been on campus in person, and I've been more in the English realm than the crew realm. But I was quite remiss to learn about it in my last year and not be able to take any more classes or do it again a second time. But I'm also really proud of it, and I definitely want to be part of promoting it and encouraging people to contribute and submit and take the class. I haven't had that experience yet of seeing it, opening the box. But we've put it together in class, and we've seen the art put together. Like, we've started to, you know, put the art pieces with the writing and to see the pages come together. And it is amazing.
Must be amazing.
It's so cool. Just to see everybody's work.
So many people working on it over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And it looks, I mean, just from an outsider's perspective, someone who's read Portal, gets a copy every year. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
So professional. And it's incredible that it's produced here.
Yeah. And I think for the students too, and I know for myself, just the validation of getting something published, other people reading it and choosing it, it's given me the confidence to say, okay, well, maybe I should submit my work to other places because I've held off until now. Mm-hmm. But it does sort of make you think, okay, like maybe I can really actually do this.
We have a second year publishing course called Introduction to Publishing, and I try to get them in second year. If I had a first year course, I would try to reach them there and just say, what are you waiting for, right? Like, polish your work, send it out. What's the worst that can happen? It doesn't get accepted, you send it out again. You have like 35 choices, right? Just keep putting it out there. If you get feedback from one of the editors saying we would have published it if, take it into account, adapt it, send it out again. And have confidence and faith that is the tried and true sort of test of many writers over the long history of writing and publishing. That, you know, it's not always because it's not strong enough that it's rejected, but often because they're working three issues ahead and it's a theme issue and they've already accepted too much, or half their editorial staff's on holiday and there's taking less, or the slush pile is particularly big at that moment, or they're looking for, you know, a different kind of poetry for that issue. So you can't take it always personally. And I think it's amazing that students do submit, whether they're accepted or rejected, because they're already over one of those hurdles just by doing that. And the odds to be published in Portal are higher than in some of those other magazines, but they're still competitive, right? We're taking 25 pieces out of anywhere from 250 to 400 pieces. So it's not easy to get in, and the pieces all deserve to be there. And the graphic designer who we hire every year on a work op to design the issue is also a student, right? So they are very talented, second, third, fourth year student who do bespoke design for every spread in a 104-page magazine. That is really a portfolio piece for them. And they add so much to the magazine through their design. And then all the photographers and visual artists who submit, I mean, we have 35 pieces probably of art and photography, so more than text. But without it, you know, it would be a much more traditional text-only magazine, and I think maybe more intimidating to people who are used to visual culture and a magazine that draws them in other ways. And then they read the poem paired with the image, and they're like, wow, that was really great. And what's this story about? And so we're trying to realize that people may have impressions about what literature is, and it may be an academic impression, but there's also this just pure pleasure of being told a story, and why not try that, right, as a reader and a writer.
So one last question for Katie, and it's a challenging one. If you had to say in like one sentence what makes Joy great at teaching this class and leading this class, what would you say?
I think it's how encouraging she is. Encouraging to us to trust our vision as editors, as writers, as creatives. But it's also how she encourages us to look ahead to what we can do and where we can go and not limit ourselves.
I'm really looking forward to the colloquium presentation. And thank you very much to both of you, Katie and Joy, for joining me today. You've been listening to Conversations in the Arts and Humanities. Thanks to Joy Googler and Katie Carroll for joining me in conversation. Technical production by Robin Davies. Music by Greg Bush. Colloquium series will be back in fall 2024 with a brand new slate of exciting presentations by faculty from the arts and humanities at VIU.
For more information, go to ah.viu.ca and click on Colloquium Series. My name's Theo Finnegan. Thanks for listening.